On the show today, we have Digital Growth Institute's James Robert Lay giving us a latest update on Hurricane Harvey relief from Houston. He is a local Houstonian, and he's giving us a firsthand look at what's going on in the city and what they're doing about it. So check it out. Welcome to our show, and reporting directly from Houston is Mr. James Robert Lay from Digital Growth Institute. How are you, James Robert?
Well, finally, the sun's coming out. I'm seeing a ray of light, a ray of hope, and that's what we're trying to do down here in the Houston area, because it's been a very tough about 5-6 days.
Yeah, tell me about before we started the recording, you were telling me how Harvey went from a Category 1 just to kind of a, you know, I don't want to say a minor storm, but just a storm, you know, and all of a sudden it just bloomed into this Category 4 storm in 24 hours. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, growing up here in Houston, I've lived through hurricanes, tropical storms. I think the worst that I've been in before was Tropical Storm Allison, which was like
I think
2000s. Yeah. And it come in, it dumped a lot of rain. We had Hurricane Ike come through. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for me, I thought the media was overhyping this. I think I first heard about this on Wednesday. And because we were planning a birthday party over the weekend, and they said, well, you know, we might be getting this weather. It's no big deal. Thursday, it was kind of coming up again. I kept saying it's no big deal. But then, you know, we saw, you know, flash forward another day, increase from a Category 1 storm to a Category 4 storm. And it's like, okay, this is still, I wasn't really too concerned. It's going to come in, but I'm still thinking media is overhyping this, kind of like they did in the past. I mean, because when Katrina came through, everyone got on the road. That's what I've been getting a lot of questions. Why didn't anyone evacuate?
Yeah.
Well, how challenging that was in Katrina, and it was almost even more of a worst case scenario. So, you know, we here in Houston, I think we hunkered down. It's kind of the term that one of the county judges uses, and we hunkered down. And was it Saturday night? Rain started falling on Friday. Saturday night rolls around, and then that was the night of the fight, the big boxing match.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And so, you know, people kind of were just going about doing their business. And I know a lot of people who got stuck, got trapped because either A, they weren't at home, they were at a bar, and I mean, even our neighbors, they had a big party, and they had people that were stuck there for probably a day, day and a half, before the floodwaters just around our area.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
So how are you guys doing? I should ask this straight away. How are you guys doing?
Personally, I'm good. My family's good. My office is good. My team is good.
Okay.
But it's the people of Houston, and even just the greater Houston area.
It's a big area.
It is. And I think it's about if you're taking greater Houston area, it's like 4.5 million. People, give or take 6 million. Don't quote me on those numbers.
Yeah.
But
it's big. Let's just say that.
Yeah. And Houston, the way it was developed, I mean, it's literally built upon on prairie or marshland.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's grown so fast, and that's caused a lot of challenges with all of this flooding, because there's really nowhere for this water to go.
Right.
And it is the rainfall has truly been in biblical proportion, if you will. I think the latest report, it was like 9 trillion gallons of water have fallen in the greater Houston area. They were talking about this is enough water to put about maybe 17th of an inch across the entire 48 states. If this was happening in New Orleans, the city of New Orleans would be about 175 feet underwater.
Oh my gosh.
This could run Niagara Falls for about 2 weeks. So it is really, I mean, even living here, seeing the rain, seeing the flood, it's really hard to wrap your head around, and watching literally the devastation come through.
Yeah.
We're seeing evacuation after evacuation after evacuation. Mm-hmm. There was the Cajun Navy is what they're called. They came out of Louisiana. They're actually set up at a facility about half a mile from my house, and they've been going and then just doing operations from dawn till about 10, 11 o'clock at night before mm-hmm. it's not safe anymore for them to go out and just pull people out of their homes.
Right, right.
Because Houston is like a bunch of islands now. So
Goodness.
That's kind of the situation.
What's the airport situation? Because I talked to a couple of guys yesterday, the day before, they couldn't get out. I mean, the airport was closed, obviously. But what's the airport situation? Are people able to get in and out now? Or?
Well, Houston has two commercial airports.
Okay.
We actually have a military, Ellington Field, which is about another, like, right across the street from where I live. And they've been flying C-130 cargo planes in and out now for the past couple of days.
Okay.
The public or the commercial airports, they're still closed, I believe. Last report was through tomorrow, so it'd be Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually supposed to fly out today. some on-site work with a client, and that just didn't happen.
Understandable.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons is because they've been limiting the commercial air traffic so that the United States Coast Guard can go out and do all the search and rescue, and so they want to keep the airspace clear.
Yeah.
Like you said, there have been a couple people who were trapped at the airport. They had flown in, and the access roads were closed, which is obviously another reason why they closed the airports.
Yeah.
So we're shifting. I think rescue's still going on, but as we move from rescue, the next step is obviously going to be recovery.
Cleanup. Before we get into the cleanup stuff, I want to know, obviously you've been in the credit union industry, you've been in the financial services industry, and what are credit unions, what are financial institutions doing in your area, in your neck of the woods for folks out there right now?
I mean, this is the big opportunity, I believe, for credit unions, community banks to step up, be a foundation for the community.
Yeah.
I know of one client already. Who has basically said, you know what, we're going to do 2 months of deferments on loans. And that's a really big deal because people, it's not only what's happening within the last 5 days or so, it's what's going to happen going forward, because businesses are going to be lost and destroyed. People are going to be out of work. There's not going to be any income coming in for some of these families. And, you and I have talked about this. We already know the amount of stress that finances, money has on people, has on families.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is where credit unions, community banks, they can offer help. They can offer hope, even in some of these darkest times right now.
Yeah.
I know a couple of other credit unions, they're still close. And this is probably going on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So 3 days, and so
that's
this
a long time, especially when people need their money.
it is really catastrophic, and it's like I said, it's probably bigger than anything that I had ever imagined. And a lot of just my friends, my families, we've been talking about it.
Yeah. And, now you wrote an interesting letter that you kind of pointed me toward, because we've been friends for a long time and we do some work and stuff together. And you sent me a link to a letter that you wrote. It's on your website. And you talked about the 9 trillion gallons of water and, the 50 inches of rain and all this, and just the displacement of families and stuff like that. Can you kind of give us a summary of your letter that you wrote? And we can certainly put a link to it in the show notes for folks to go and read and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that I'm trying to just do with that is just raise awareness for the help that families are going to need in the months to come at a minimum. And, analysts are already saying that this is going to be felt for years.
Oh, yeah.
It could end up being one of the most costly natural disasters that the United States has seen. And so from a displacement standpoint, we were watching some updates last night. Mm-hmm. The Georgetown Convention Center, which is Houston's big convention center, is already at max capacity. 10,500 families are already there. They've now opened up another one at NRG. Which is kind of where the football stadium is. Mm-hmm. I don't believe the football stadium, it's more of the energy center.
Yeah.
So a couple of ex-mayors are getting together. They're putting their resources, ex-county judges are pulling their resources, because we've already been through this once before when we helped the people from New Orleans evacuate.
Right. Everyone came over to Houston, that's right.
We're seeing these processes already be put in place, but that's kind of on the larger scale. On a more of a smaller scale, churches, high schools are all housing people, housing families. And so just the intention of the letter that I wrote is just to raise the awareness, because I think you see the reports on the news, and even here, it's almost unimaginable. And I'm just trying to help create that awareness to make it a little bit more real. Because you just don't know. I mean, even here, being here, seeing this, maybe call it just a little bit of shock. You know,
yeah, you're have still in the process. Shock. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like I said, we're fine, but it's like, okay, we're good. Who can we go and help?
Yep.
And that's really the goal of my intention.
Which leads me to your donation site that you've set up. And you want to give us a quick summary on that as well?
Yeah. So we just kind of, you know, spur of the moment, my wife and I, we were talking. She's really big into helping people. I'm really big into helping people. And we said, what can we do just to raise some awareness, to raise some money, to help a couple families? Because we have four kids. And I couldn't imagine, you know, being rescued on a boat, literally leaving everything behind, mm-hmm. getting 4 feet, 5 feet, sometimes 6 feet of water and a home. And it's just all gone. I think right. I saw there was a father and a son who Coast Guard, they pulled out of an apartment. And he was saying that, you know, we lost it all. You know, and school in this area started on Monday of last week. So we had an eclipse. We had the first day of school, and then we had a hurricane. Come through. Yeah.
Goodness
and
gracious.
So strange times for sure.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, as a father, as a husband, as a family, we just wanted to do something to, if we could help one, two, maybe three families, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. get them you know, just some necessities, food, water, diapers, yeah. wipes, maybe help them subsidize, you know, like an extended stay. So we're already talking with some authorities and people here locally, mm-hmm. to try to identify someone who could greatly yeah. benefit from just some financial support, financial assistance.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you hear about these large corporations and stuff providing, you know, donating thousands and thousands of dollars, and which is fantastic. But I think the real story, it comes from like you folks as well. I mean, local folks there doing something for their community as well. Because I'm sure there's a number of folks just like you that are setting up these donation sites and like, gosh, you know what? We're okay, but how can we help out, you know, our fellow Houston residents type of thing, you know?
Houston, Houstonian, I love this city, and this city gets a lot of beef from people who don't live here. You know, we host events here, and like, why are you hosting in Houston? Because I love Houston. This is my city. This is my home.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's hot. There's the mosquitoes. And I'm like, yeah, but you learn to love it. And there's one thing that Houstonians, we come together, and literally, even as the rains were still pouring, volunteers, you know, the local government was calling for, if you have a boat, and a lot of people, because we live on the Gulf Coast, they have boats,
yeah.
they're just driving, if they could make it to anywhere, and they were launching boats. And so, obviously with my family, you know, we want to help like we did back in Katrina,
mm-hmm.
and so, but the game has changed for us, and so yeah. this is just our way of helping, and you're right. I think making donations is great, and there's a lot of support that's needed. But what we're doing, it's, you know, we want people to have the confidence that this donation, 100% of it, yep. is going to go directly to help a family. Because I know with some larger organizations, you have administrative, and yeah. like the percentages of that actual donation just get smaller and smaller and
right,
smaller.
Right.
So crowdfunding has even changed. I mean, from what we saw, like with Katrina, you know, Red Cross was obviously kind of in the news, but I think Red Cross got a lot of flack with like the Haiti relief,
mm-hmm.
and so
oh,
now
yeah. I remember that.
Social media, it's changed the way that people who don't even live here can provide support, can provide assistance for families in need.
So it's very cool that here's what you're doing. I'm sure there's a whole bunch of other people as well. It's very organic and just very authentic and just, gosh, how can we help out our fellow residents? So it's really cool to see folks like you stepping up and helping out your neighbors.
You know, I'm really hoping that this shows not what Houston is made of. I mean, Houston, Rudy Tomjanovich, the Houston Rocket coach, mm-hmm. from back in the mid-90s, he said, never underestimate the heart of a champion. And I think with it's not only just for Houston, it's for the entire United States, the entire world, because there's so much just negativity in the media. If we can just turn something in a, you know, bad situation, turn it into hope, because hope at the end of the day is really all that we have to cling to,
yep.
In a time like this.
Yep.
And if we can just share those stories of hope, which is what we're going to do. We're going to come back and we're going to tell, you know, this is who we've helped. This is the value that you guys who have donated, this is the impact that you've made for a family.
And I think there we go. Your kids second that notion.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I've been here. You know, I can't even get out to get to the office, actually I heard today is the office is finally accessible. So
cool. Okay. Well, maybe tomorrow you get there. So yeah, all right, James, I'll let you get going back to your family and get back to work and all that type of stuff. I just appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your day to chat with us about what's going on there and what you guys are doing for others and what we all can do for others, for folks in Houston as well. So hang in there, and our thoughts and prayers are with you guys and with the rest of the community of Houston. So thank you, man.
Thanks so much for having me, and thanks for sharing this message, Mike. We really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, sir. You're very welcome.